did this car come from?
This is where you came from. Now, this is your passport. From Belgooley, County Cork. I don't even know where that is.
South Cork. Oh, you can see it.
Oh, it's a beautiful spot, Belgooley.
Yeah.
Boher is a Limerick-based organisation which was set up in 1991 to send cows to poor farmers in developing countries. Peter Arten helped found the organisation and is the current chief executive.
The word Boher comes from a law which was passed by the King of Munster in the 9th century, who was also, of course, the Archbishop of Cashel and Emly, because kings were archbishops in those days too. Cormac McQuillanon was his name, and he passed a law that if a path was wide enough for a cow to be standing across it and for another cow to be able to pass behind her, then it would be designated as a bohar or a road and would be liable to local taxes, which he would collect. Bow, of course, is the Irish for cow, and har is across. So bohar. The road in our language is called after the cow, not after the person. And we, you know, all our jaws dropped around the table when we heard this story. And that was basically the end of it. You know, what else would we call this organisation only Boher?
Boher is now a well-known national charity still operating out of Limerick. 14 years and 80 shipments later, Boher is still going strong, thanks to the generosity and interest shown by ordinary Irish people. We met some of the donors at Boher's base in County Limerick, Bulgaden Farm.
My name is Sister Patricia from Kilfinnan, and I teach in Skullcole in this town. We are involved in Boher for 10 years, and it was by accident we got involved in it. We kind of saw a report on a paper, and we thought that giving a cow would be better than giving money. And the children kind of raised money to various activities. And for the last 10 years, we have been involved, and we've sent at least 20 heifers to different parts, starting with Uganda, Bosnia. You know, we sent 6 to Cameroon 10 years ago. And we've been fundraising quietly along the way, and we've sent about 2 heifers a year. And we have now one called Mary in this shipment.
But Boher doesn't operate alone. It has close links to Heifer Project International, who have been sending livestock to developing countries since the 1940s.
So our partnership with them is this: we supply the livestock, we supply the transport and certain other supports, veterinary supplies and things like that, and other aspects as well. They, in general, will implement the project on the ground. They'll supervise the building of things like zero grazing units in the case of dairy cows or goats. From the perspective of the choosing of the families and the initial discussion of the project and so on, that is very much community based. We would strictly never impose a kind of top down model on that, because once again that just doesn't work unless it comes from the ground up and from the needs, the expressed needs of the community. Then once it's coming from the community itself, people are behind the project and they're actively involved and they are empowered.
Most Irish people know that Boher sent cows and other livestock to poor families in developing countries. If the cow is of huge value to the recipients, the training they receive from HPI is of even greater benefit. We travelled to Uganda and met with Bernard Muyeya, who works for Boher and HPI. He explained to us the success of the Irish project.
The bottom line or the backbone is we do more farmer training before animals are distributed. There are other institutions which have joined the similar program, but they are not doing well because they give animals before farmers are not trained. So that has been the reason why boar animals have done well. Because before animals are given, they are trained. We just say livestock or an animal is the last product to be given to the farm.
So what kind of training is provided? Monica Kensime, a support worker with HPI, told us that the training involved much more than how to look after a cow.
They get training in improved dairy farming, sustainable agriculture, environmental protection, and other related training. Gender training, gender nutrition, training. Yeah, we train them in gender, nutrition, improved nutrition, home hygiene. So it's a package.
It's not just getting a cow then?
No. Because we believe if somebody is not healthy, then they will not look after the cow. So the health of the person also should be improved, and then they can be able to look after the cow for more benefits.
Equipped with new skills, a healthy animal, and a support network within the community, new opportunities open up for these African farmers. We went to the Chirinya Women's Association in Uganda's Central District. There we met some farmers who spoke to us about their experiences.
Yeah, the cows have also actually...
Yes, I think
them.
It's the cow which started all this. Because women were organized, they were told, they were given the cows, now they have got the fruits. Now they were trained how to get more businesses from the milk. The money from the milk you can save. From the saving, you can do another business. Then you can now help with your problems at home.
Supplement.
You can say, okay, it is a supplementary sort of. So from the milk to other businesses.
Like right now, they are making yogurt. Yeah, they are making yogurt. They know how to preserve milk. They can make other products out of the milk. And even this cow dung and what, they make manure. So they are really enterprising.
Instead of using electricity, we are getting...
Biogas.
Using biogas from the cow dung.
Biogas is one of the benefits of integrated farming. A system where nothing produced on the farm goes to waste. Monica took us to meet Jane, a recipient of one of the first Irish cows sent to Uganda.
Biogas starts like this. You get the cow manure, the cow dung. They mix it, they remove all the grass, and they put it in that pit.
And what happens then? It
goes down into that one and then the other one, and it produces gas which moves in pipes into the house for cooking.
So no electricity cost?
No. No cooking, firewood, charcoal, nothing. Pash uses this. So this is what I was calling integrated, you know. It is a cycle.
Irish cows in Uganda are exotic animals. In order to avoid picking up infections, they have to be confined to what is known as a zero grazing unit. These sheds are built by the farmers well before the cows arrive. Monica explains to us how Joyce, another Wakiso district farmer, built her unit.
This is just Makamia, and in our program, as I told you, environmental protection. Much as we are trying to reduce poverty, we are caring for the earth. We know that they have to get these trees to build the shed, to build their houses. So we have a component of environmental protection where they are encouraged to plant trees. So most times you see that they have planted several trees within their gardens. Even on the boundaries, we encourage them to plant trees so that they can help in such cases where you have to build. You don't have to go again to buy trees for building.
And then the roof is made out of corrugated.
No, the roof can be made of any materials, but maybe it would have come in her success stories. When she got her first animal, usually we recommend 4 pens, 1, 2, 3, 4. So from the money she got, she extended the shed, and she managed to also put hen sheets.
And why is that better? What What would she have had on before that?
This one is more durable compared to the grass. When the wind comes, it blows off the grass.
In return for the training and a healthy animal, the farmers must give something back. The first female offspring must be donated to another family. This is known as passing on the gift.
So the farmers have the obligation to look after the animals, make sure they treat them. Then the products, they are theirs. Only that, heifer, we believe in the philosophy of passing on the gift. Because it is through passing on the gift that we hope world hunger will be eradicated. If you start with one animal, with time it becomes 100 animals. Start with one family, and with time it is 100 families. Because the first animal you get, the first offspring, you pass it on to somebody, and the person also pass on, and it becomes a chain.
Boer and HBI are just two of the many organisations working to end poverty and inequality in the world. COLOV is the organisation for returned aid and development workers in Ireland. Stephen Thornhill is a volunteer with this organisation who has experience in agricultural development. Here he speaks of the differences between Irish and African farmers' standards of living.
Well, as you say, I mean, farmers in developing countries are on a much smaller scale generally. Many of them are subsistence, so trade and liberalisation doesn't actually mean anything to those people. What they're worried about is being able to compete against subsidised imports. Good, so, you know, we have to remember that, a lot of it's subsistence. Whereas in Ireland, farmers, and I wouldn't say that all farmers generally have a great time, because it's still tough. You have to remember there are different standards of living here and different costs of living. So, but having said that, farmers receive huge subsidies here to enable, in Ireland, to enable them to be sustainable in farming. Costs of production, or the prices that products are sold at here in Europe, are generally below cost of production. So direct payments have to address that difference and that gap. So it's a very different kettle of fish altogether. I mean, and not only that, but to enable the agricultural produce that's produced here to be sold onto world markets, then export subsidies are provided. And this will enable, for example, dairy products to be sold into Caribbean markets. You see plenty of Kerrygold butter on the fridges in the shops in Jamaica and in various Caribbean countries, which has been subsidised. And at the same time, the farms over there, Trinidad, Jamaica, a lot of these countries, the dairy farms, have pretty much been wiped out now. And they were an important source of income for households, and particularly, you know, a lot of women would have kept cows and, you know, to earn a bit extra. So, you know, you can see directly that the different lifestyles between developing countries and in Ireland, they're very different, but our protected farm sectors can have a very big impact on the unprotected farm sectors in developing countries.
Mary is one of the many women farmers in Uganda. She spoke to us about how her large extended family is supported by the produce of her farm. She began by telling us about her cow.
And how much milk do you get from these cows?
Okay, one can take up, there's an average of 9-10.
Liters?
Liters.
What is the
average
maximum you have ever got?
15.
15, very good.
15.
Very good. And you're keeping them here in the special?
They don't move, just only here. We just bring everything here and we give.
And where? How do you feed them?
We have a big land.
How many acres?
5 acres. Five acres.
And do you grow grass in the land to feed them?
the other, even we buy according to what we have, we buy even outside. But we have the grass, which is enough for these cows. We cut. Hey.
And what do you do with the milk that you get?
Myself, I have somewhere I sell it at the ministry. Ministry of Works.
That's one of the benefits to the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Providing quality milk to the neighbors.
Even my bosses want it.
Very good.
Yeah.
And do you keep some for home?
The what? Yeah, of course. As according to our number, you can keep, if we are 2 or 3, you can keep a liter. If you are many, 2 liters, 3 liters, according to the people at home.
And how many people are at home with you now?
We're about 15.
15? How many children?
There are 7 children. Sometimes we are many to 20, because we have our brothers who died, their children come to our home. Hey.
Okay. So you sell the milk to the ministry, but have you also bought chickens with money that you have made from the milk?
Yes, because as my money, which I get from the works, I buy food for my ward.
Okay.
Hey, that is what I do.
And how many chickens do you have now?
We have 500. These are 250.
250?
Yeah, 500. Okay. These are the elder one. Then you have the youngest there. They have also started
laying. And what do you do with the eggs?
We sell it and we pay school fees, of course. We are paying school fees because our children are in boarding schools. And also we have one who is already in the university. That one coming. She has just come from Rukungiri. On research.
Wow.
Research. And another one was in S6. She's also going to join the university.
Did you ever think that your children would go to university before you started the project?
Because I was poor. I had nothing that I can get money. But I tried to find that when I got a car, I had to think more of increasing some income. Yes. Yeah.
So has it made a difference?
There is very much difference. Because I'm paying school fees, my children are in boarding schools, we are eating good, getting milk, selling. It's very nice. Yeah. We are happy of it. Yeah.
Okay. And do you hope your other children will finish school and go on as well?
Well, I think of going away, that depends the God's way, God's wish. Yeah, myself, I don't know. I'm not sure of that, only God.
Boher deals with individual families within communities on a case-by-case basis. We saw the positive impact an Irish cow can have on a Ugandan farmer's life. However, as members of the European Union, Ireland is part of the larger problem faced by the Ugandan agricultural industry. The policies and trade agreements we have signed up to are restricting the possibilities for trade for developing countries. So what can we do?
Well, it's difficult. Nobody seems to come up with the answer yet. But I think what it has to do is to allow developing countries to protect their own markets. Depending on what level of development they're at, what products they produce and are good at producing, but also give them access to European markets, much fairer access than they currently have, and to stop all export subsidies. I mean, export subsidies just aren't warranted at all in the world. I mean, it just leads to so much, so many problems. So we have to realise, we have to stop export subsidies altogether. So I think that's three things that could start. How this would come about? Well, we have the World Trade Organization talks that are ongoing at the moment, and at the end of this year we have another important benchmark for those. So it's absolutely vital that European Union and the US take a stance to say, you know, end export subsidies and make a commitment to do that. It's absolutely essential that developing countries are allowed to have a special window within the whole WTO agreement to allow them to protect their agriculture sectors as they need, you know, in terms of development. And it's essential that we provide more access, import access, to you know, fairer access to imports from developing countries. So there's kind of three steps that would help. I think you know, a lot of people still criticise the European Union, but actually the way it's moved in its agricultural policy is definitely moving towards the right direction, in that the prices have been cut, you know, more towards world levels, so export subsidies are falling, but they're still there, and a move towards more, you know, helping farmers by giving them direct payments, and also saying, you know, when you don't have to produce, because what should happen is, if the prices are lower than the costs now, you know, if the revenue from the market is below what it costs you to produce that, then why should you produce anything? So it's the whole idea of decoupling payments is the right direction, because it should help to reduce production where it's not warranted. So, you know, you have to say that the European Union seems to be moving in the right direction. I'm not so sure about the US. I think the US still has, you know, a long way to go.
For more information on the topics dealt with in this programme, please visit www.dci.ie. This programme was funded by Development Cooperation Ireland as part of its Media Challenge Fund.